Hell froze over, so here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast shunned by hoarders everywhere. He parallel parks like a pro, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for that wonderful applause. It soothes my soul to hear the vast audience enjoying the beginning of our show, and especially enjoying Drew McMillan's fine introduction to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It's particularly appropriate that we thank Drew today because he has just brought another little McMillan into the world. And we couldn't be happier. Nope. Randy damn near. Randy almost had a grabber. he froze up for a second behind it. Did I hear that right? But yes, little Nora McMillan has been born. And she, I think it was yesterday or maybe the night of the day before that. But it doesn't really matter because we haven't told you what day of the month or year this is. It is 2021. It's in April. And so we're going to celebrate every year from now on. My question to my sister, this is my sister's first grandchild, was, does she have the good lungs like Drew does? If so, get her a microphone. I'll get her some copy to record, and she can become our substitute announcer when Drew is out on the boats filming his TV show, Powerboat TV. Episodes of which Yanks can watch at powerboattv.com. Anyway, congratulations to the lovely Magda. You did a fine job. I saw a picture of she and her daughter together. It looks like everybody is healthy and happy. So we're very pleased for the McMillan family. It's growing larger, whereas the Jones family appears to be shrinking. So I don't know. Maybe some of these kids will change their names to the revered and honored Jones name. I don't know how I'm going to persuade them to do that. Anyway, we are here to help people understand and make the transition between Medicare and the former life that they led, the dissolute existence that they had before they attained Medicare eligibility. And that's why I wrote the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, which is on sale at Amazon. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. And what you're looking for when you go to Amazon is the edition with the red 2021 on the cover, not the older edition with the 2020. That's still a bestseller that has almost 300 positive reviews, but the newest one has fewer reviews because Amazon has an odd way of allocating reviews. So that's the book that you want to get if you want to learn my thoughts about your transition from regular health insurance to Medicare. And that transition occurs not just when you turn 65. If you're actively at work or if you're a dependent on your spouse's insurance plan, you don't have to go to Medicare if you don't want to. Now, you may decide you want to because your current plan may be very expensive and the plan itself, the benefits may be kind of skimpy and the doctor's network may be kind of restrictive. Those are possibilities that may cause you when you're 65 or over to drop your employer's health insurance plan and go on your own Medicare plan because it's pretty good coverage at a fairly reasonable price. But the book explains to you what the likely costs would be. After you read the book, you'd be able to tell for yourself whether this is a good time to do it or should you stay on the company plan and wait it out. So the key is actively at work. If you are actively at work or your spouse is actively at work, then you don't have to worry about going to Medicare. You might want to get Medicare Part A. The only reason not to do it would be if you have a tax deductible HSA, health savings account, to contribute money to. If you don't have one of those for your medical plan, then you're good to go with Medicare Part A. You call the Social Security Administration, tell them you want to enroll in Part A, and they'll help you get signed up. And that way, when it comes time to go on the rest of Medicare, you will be partway there. It'll be an easier process once you have your account with the government set up. So here I am yakking away, and I bet we're sneaking up on 20 minutes. Normally, I call Randy in here to help me entertain everyone. So Randy, come on board. Turn that mic up and talk to us today. How you doing?
I am so excited with that news, Doug.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? She's a cute little girl.
Mr. and Mrs. Drew and Magda.
Magda.
You are Magda?
Magda. Magda. Right. It's hard for this Oklahoma this Oklahoma accent to get it around a name like Magda, but I'm practicing.
Yeah, I don't think there's any of those in Oklahoma, is there?
None. There are none.
Well, congratulations, guys, on your new addition to the family, Nora. And I'm going to mark it down here as April the 8th or 7th, one of those two.
Yeah, we don't really know for sure. It's like it could be the 6th. She might have been born on the 6th. You'd think I'd pay more attention to this stuff, wouldn't you? Because I'm sure to Magda especially, it is a critically important thing that her daughter's birthday be known to the world. However, you and I are just happy she's here, and we didn't even think about the day that this occurred.
Well, I'm also very excited, given the fact that I can ship a headset off now to Canada.
Yeah,
for Little Miss Nora to start learning the business.
I think she's going to be an excellent addition to the group of podcasting announcers that we're hoping to put together up there. They work cheap. We already know they work cheap, because Drew's been with us for a little over a year now, and basically he hasn't cost a dime.
Yeah, there's no invoicing coming your way that I can tell.
Not so far. Not so far. Although, you know, staring with college tuition staring him in the face, that may change. With college tuition staring Drew in the face 18 years from now, those invoices actually may start rolling our direction, and I may wind up having to pay for his services. But so far, he's been a very cost-effective voiceover announcer, and yes. I'm very, very happy to have his contribution to every episode.
And I know I've said this before, but I know Doug has said it before, but he's not teasing. I actually sit and I listen to those recordings that Drew so kindly sends us, and it makes me happy every day. And that's the reason that I have a couple favorites that I kept sneaking into the rotation.
What bothers me is the other elements that you never even play once. That's I mean, I listened the other night. I was caught up on my Medicare podcast that I like to listen to, so I fell asleep listening to our earlier work. And I heard a couple that I thought, boy, why don't I hear these more often? They're pretty darn clever. Well, what you should do, Randy, is clear your desk and get ready, because there's another slug coming your way.
Cool.
It's a fairly large group of introductions. And as you know, each introduction is in three parts. And so you're gonna need some spare time to listen to the new batch when it arrives.
Yes, I love every one of them. So anyway, I think we should probably start talking about some Medicare subject material.
Let's do that.
I see on the agenda / session notes that we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, but I'll jump on that one later.
Oh, Randy is so excited. When I sent him our checklist of episode topics that we're going to address today, he got all excited because I have Medicare Advantage on the list. And in reality, he calls it Medicare Disadvantage. But I just had a few things cross my desk that pointed to the same problem that Medicare Advantage plans have. And then I say to myself, there's a lot of internal struggle going on inside my brain. I'm thinking to myself, are we spending too much time beating up on Medicare Advantage plans? And my conclusion is typically no. Randy agrees with that 100%. He's shaking his head. His eyeballs are rolling around in his eye sockets. But the whole point is we are trying to let people know about potential problems. And why do we recommend one course of action as opposed to all other courses of action? Because it has fewer problems and it tends to go more smoothly. And when we don't remind people of these potential pitfalls, then we are probably not doing the proper service to our audience. Because what we've got is a rolling audience. We've got people coming in. We've got people going out. People hear about the book. They find out that there's a podcast. They listen to the podcast for a while. Then they write to me typically and say, what do you suggest somebody in my position do? And then I send them a questionnaire. And they reluctantly fill out the questionnaire. It's 2 pages, and almost every item on that questionnaire is something that you know off the top of your head. But the point of the questionnaire is 2 things. It helps me get to know your situation. Do you have retirement coming up? Are you being laid off? What sort of situation do you find yourself in, especially with respect to your current health insurance? And then the other thing is that when it comes down to, if you say, Doug, I like what you say, go ahead and I want to buy the insurance that you're recommending, then what I do is I use that information to fill out the applications that go to the insurance company. So when I ask for a questionnaire to be filled out, it's not because I'm nosy or it's not because I'm prying into your affairs. It's just that I want to be able to do the best job for you. But we have new people starting all the time. And I hear from new people sometimes on a daily basis. And if we didn't tell the same story over and over again, then we would be doing a disservice to some of these new people who are in need of information about Medicare. And that information, Randy and I agree, is that Medicare Advantage plans are likely to be less satisfactory for the average person that we think is our target market than our Medicare supplement plans. And one of the reasons for those is that Medicare Advantage plans are like HMOs. Most of them are HMOs. There are some PPOs, but an HMO doesn't really allow you any freedom. If you need to get treatment, you have to get their book out with their list of doctors and specialists and hospitals from your HMO Medicare Advantage insurance plan, and you have to pick who you would like to see from that list. Now, in some respects, some cases, the insurance company might have a very short list of doctors and hospitals, and that's kind of bad because you don't have that many doctors, hospitals, and specialists to choose from. In other cases, the list might be longer, and the insurance company might be paying more money to the doctors to keep them happy. But once in a while, the doctors or the hospitals or the chain of providers that they've contracted with are unhappy. They say, you know, we need more reimbursement. And the insurance company might say, well, I'm sorry, but our profit margins won't allow us to have any additional reimbursement for you. We can't pay you any more than we're already paying you. And they come to an impasse. And every once in a while, I will report to you here about a situation wherein the providers in a given company's network have decided to break with them and not be part of the insurance plan anymore. And we had this last year sometime with a hospital chain located in the Florida Panhandle in Georgia and Alabama. And this hospital chain had 2,200 employees, which included a bunch of docs and several medical facilities. And what happened was they left the Cigna Medicare Advantage network, and patients that had purchased or that had signed up with Cigna Medicare Advantage coverage that had treatment regularly from doctors in that hospital chain all of a sudden found themselves with a decision to make. Do they go out and find new doctors and start from scratch, or do they maybe go see their same doctor, but pay for their treatment out of their own pockets because the insurance company would refuse to cover treatment rendered by a doctor that they didn't have a contract with? Well, that got resolved eventually. After scaring a lot of their patients, that hospital chain rejoined the Cigna, I'm pretty sure it was Cigna, the Cigna HMO Medicare Advantage network for some period of time. So crisis averted, but yet the people that might have been inconvenienced or even jeopardized, they were left with a bitter feeling that, oh, what if this happens again? We are going to have the same problem again. And this is why there's such a frenzy of activity at the end of every year when people who are in a Medicare Advantage plan have a booklet with a list of doctors and hospitals, but they have found that their favorite doctors or the doctors that they've used regularly have resigned from the plan. So that treatment, if they go to those doctors for treatment, they're not going to get reimbursed. The doctor is going to send them a bill instead of sending it to the insurance company. Well, I just was given a notice from actually two different sources about, I hate to use the name of the company because this can happen with any company that gets into the Medicare Advantage business. But we're talking about Humana in this case, a huge insurance company, and they sell a lot of Medicare Advantage. I offer them to my clients in certain areas when their Medicare supplement plans are reasonably priced, and they do have good service. I mean, they really do want to stay in the business and remain a major player, but their contract in this case with a thing called Indy Medicare Part D Health Plan is coming to an end. And I got a circular letter, and then I got an emergency email from my local broker manager. And basically, I'm being told that this Indy Medicare Part D health plan has terminated their relationship with Humana. So this means that if you have a Humana Medicare prescription drug plan, and you have been using this particular Indy Medicare services, then all of a sudden they're going to go away. It says here, Indy Health Insurance Company, a standalone Part D plan in Arkansas, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Illinois, and Georgia has been terminated. This plan actually doesn't have a lot to do with Humana. The plan has been told by the government that they are not going to be allowed to conduct business anymore. So Humana is trying to position themselves to take up the slack, to send their people out to enroll people who used to be using the services of this Indy health plan, but aren't going to be able to use them anymore because the government has shut them down. It says here, this plan termination creates a special enrollment period that's valid through July 31st. So if you had Indy health plan for your drug benefits, your Part D coverage, then you have until July 31st to find another plan, and the government will allow you to enroll, even though it's the middle of the year, and typically you can't really do that until the end of the year, which is what they call AEP, annual election period. And that starts on October 15th. But if you've got this Indy health plan that's being yanked out from under you, Humana would like you to consider buying their drug plans. But the flaw in their thinking, and the flaw that their salespeople will not often tell you, is that your goal should be to get the least expensive drug plan, not to get a drug plan from a particular company. Because as we see with this Indy drug plan, if the company were to go belly up or were to be ordered by the government to cease doing business, then the government gives you an enrollment period during which you can replace your existing Part D coverage or your existing drug coverage with a different company's coverage. No harm, no foul. But what's the mistake a lot of people make? They'll talk to a salesman who will say, here's a great company. Why don't you sign up for their coverage? And because you can, if you don't like it, you can always change at the end of the year. Well, I say, let's take one step further. Let's find out which one is the least expensive for you. And how do we do that? We go to the government website and we put in your exact location. And then we put in the drugs that you take, the quantity you take, and so forth. And then we put in the places that you like to have your prescriptions filled. And so after putting those pieces of information into the government website, you will have a list of all the plans available in your county. And that could be upwards of 30, 35 drug plans. So you have a list from the cheapest to the most expensive. And yours, it's all tailored to you. The cheapest drug plan would be your goal, unless it's, you know, inconvenient. Like, for instance, I don't contract with every drug company out there. I have four that I use. And generally speaking, when people use this process, one of those four companies comes up. But let's say it's a company I don't have a contract with, then I would give one of my clients a telephone number and say, call these guys, tell them that you want to enroll, have your Medicare ID card in front of you, and tell them you want to enroll in their plan starting January 1st for the following year. And that way, they can avail themselves of the least expensive drug plan. And what happens during the course of the next year, like let's say 2022, people are going along with a drug plan and then their prescriptions change. Maybe they're taking more of a certain drug or less of a certain drug than they used to. So that changes the whole equation. So at the end of 2022, I'm going to suggest that they go back to the government website, enter their exact location, which is their their zip code and their county that they live in. And then they can put in their drugs, their dosages, their quantities, and then they can put in the pharmacies that they like to have their prescriptions filled at. And pretty soon you've got a list of all the drug plans available, maybe 30 or 35 listed in order of monthly cost. And that would include not just the premium for the insurance plan that they're going to buy, but also the co-pays for the drugs. And during the course of the year, you know, that can add up to a sizable amount of money. So you want to take the cheapest drug plan and pick that one for the following year. So that's why we do this, to make sure that people can apply for the correct drug plan instead of being seduced by somebody who doesn't really have your best interest at heart, but who just wants to sell their own product. Now, here's I just got an email from somebody who said, I don't know whether I've done the right thing. This gentleman enrolled in a full-blown Plan G, which I might not recommend to a healthy guy, and also a drug plan from the same company. And I know for a fact that drug plan is never among the cheapest, unless this guy takes some kind of weird medication like for beriberi or, you know, trichinosis or something. He's likely to have made a mistake and he's probably paying more money out of his pocket. So I told him that here are the things that I can recommend for you, but I need to know a little bit about you. And if you respond to my answer and tell me that, I will let you know what I recommend. But there's no reason at all for you to have the same company provide your drug coverage as provide your Medicare supplement coverage. If it worked out like that, it would be luck of the draw, the flip of a coin. But typically speaking, those are going to be two different coverages, two different companies that you would have. Your Medicare supplement with one that I would recommend, and your drug plan with another one that the government projects as being the least expensive for you. So, and then I had another piece of paper that I want to throw away that says that Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas is about to have its relationship with the University of Texas Health East Texas Hospitals. Well, it was jeopardized. I guess their relationship, they were about to announce that chain of hospitals was going to leave the Blue Advantage HMO network. And apparently they came to an agreement at the very last minute. And so that was basically an announcement saying, okay, good news. That's not going to happen this year. My question for anybody who buys a Medicare Advantage plan is, will it happen next year? What happens when that new contract expires, or the contract they negotiated with a different chain of hospitals a couple of years ago? What happens when that contract expires? This is why there's a feeding frenzy at the end of every year, because Medicare Advantage plans can change out from under you, and they can turn into something that you did not intend to buy when you buy them. And so that's why the government lets you change no harm, no foul once a year. So I don't know. I get the idea that the crickets have been muted today, and we're not going to be drawn up short at our 20-minute mark. Is that correct, Randy?
The crickets have come and gone.
Oh boy! You know, you get me yakking about this stuff, and then of course I lose control. As I've told you, it's like somebody puts a black bag over my head, and I lose track of time. You know, the sun has moved across the sky, and I'm still yakking, and I don't even know whether I've said anything that makes sense or not.
So, as a general rule, I always have questions, and let me put it in context for you. There's a reason that they call Medicare Advantage plans Part C, but we won't talk about that.
Okay, but I've heard it enough. Regular listeners will already know what you're about to say. So,
okay, Medicare Part C, the reason that they put Medicare Advantage plans in that category is that it stands for crap.
Right. And in polite society, we would use a K just to, not offend the more sensitive listeners.
I do have an actual question.
Okay.
Those of you who have listened to this podcast for a while are well aware that I was born and raised in Nebraska, which is a pretty well strung out state, kind of like Oklahoma, where Doug's from. So anything west of Lincoln, it gets pretty sparse. Okay, there's Omaha.
That's about an hour in from Council Bluffs, isn't it? So you got to, yeah.
Lincoln is about 60 miles from Council Bluffs.
So you got a whole lot of state left west of there.
So if you guys want to pull out a map, right, while we're sitting there, from the east to the west, Nebraska is something pretty, it's over 400 some miles east to west, pretty close to 500 miles. So anything west of Lincoln, it gets pretty sparse. And the fact that Medicare Advantage plans require you to operate within network. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend that you live out in BFE, Western Nebraska, and your local doctor, Bill, doesn't want to take the rates that he's being offered from Medicare Disadvantage. What happens in those cases where someone convinces a rancher out in Western Nebraska to buy a Medicare Advantage plan, but there's no providers, within, a day's drive or a day's horse ride to get any service? What happens?
Well, first of all, the salesperson that is trying to convince that rancher to buy that coverage has been sternly warned and probably shown a map saying, don't sell it in this area because we're going to have irritated and unhappy clients. And they don't really want irritated and unhappy clients. So the salesman is thinking to himself, how can I get around that rule? Because that's what salesmen do. They say, okay, there's a line in the sand. How can I cross that line? And so what he's got to do is convince the rancher either that he's not going to ever need to see a doctor again, or that he's going to be perfectly fine with the skimpy list of doctors that he's able to show that rancher. Here's a guy in the next town over here. You don't mind driving 60 miles, do you, if you cut your foot off in a hay baler?
That's right. Well, 60 miles, people think you're kidding, Doug, but 60 miles from one place to another on Western Nebraska is nothing.
Absolutely. Well, I remember the days when Montana did not have a speed limit. And if you asked a local, how long does it take to get down to, Twin Buttes or whatever? Well, that's about a six pack. That's going to take you about five beers or so. And so it's, everybody understands the realities of a sparse population. And of course, most insurance companies are going to go after the more densely populated areas. But there are networks trying to establish themselves out in sparsely populated areas, and distance is a factor. One thing that may start to change that is the acceptance of telemedicine, where all of a sudden the insurance companies and the government are encouraging doctors to do more of their diagnostic work online and their follow-up work, either, telephone or, like Zoom or whatever. So that may allow networks to penetrate more sparsely populated areas. But in some cases, that's not going to be good enough for the treatment of injury or disease. People are going to have to be seen face-to-face. So in those areas, that's where Medicare Advantage plans have a distinct disadvantage. and where our products have a really strong advantage, because our products allow a customer to go anywhere they want to for treatment. So that could be Dr. Bill. You know, if Dr. Bill has not joined a network, then he can certainly see anybody he wants to see. He can do that even if he's in a network. He can join a network then other people can see him, but he's going to be charging a different rate. He's going to get discount heavily for the patients that see him that are covered by the insurance plan whose network he joined. And then for other people who don't have a network or don't have a Medicare Advantage plan with a network, he's going to be able to charge those people more, and they'll pay out of their pockets. So it gets a little complicated. The doctors aren't used to having to become accountants and asset managers. But it's like my dentist always said. I knew this guy from the time he bought his practice till the time he retired. He said, I haven't joined any networks. Why should I give up a piece of the action in order to put more butts in my seats when I can do that with just the skill that I possess and word of mouth? And so, you know, and frankly, back when he was saying that, St. Charles was on the fringe of the suburbs of Chicago, kind of like you're talking about. It was almost west of civilization. So you've always mentioned that Nebraska has a panhandle. You've always said out in the panhandle is where you grew up. Yeah, where the hell is the panhandle?
That's the west side.
Oh, okay. That whole western part of the state is.
It's a big fat panhandle.
Yeah, it's really compared to Oklahoma's panhandle, which is more panhandle-ish.
It's more panhandle-ish, yes. Yeah, definitely. So I was just going to mention, people don't have any concept, you know, you and I do, but people generally speaking out of the cities don't have any concept of how much space there is out there in the middle of Nebraska.
Yep.
Ranchers own private planes to keep track of their animals.
I learned that back when I was a kid watching Sky King.
Yeah.
And his niece Penny. Yeah. And they would hop into their twin beach and just fly to the other end of their ranch for lunch or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly how it works. But anyway, you know something? We are out of time. And well, given the fact I brought up the, you know, the concept of planes, I would like to mention that you have just spent 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the CEO of MLM Air and the head pilot.
We've got to rethink this, because one of my new favorite clients, a woman named Becky from East Texas, has asked me whether or not I have a pilot's license. And I said, where did you ever get that idea? And who would ever entrust me with a pilot's license? And she said, well, that's what Randy says every time an episode ends. And so I had to disabuse her of the, you know, information that she thought she had, which was that I was a pilot. And I said, I've jumped out of a few airplanes
a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
And fortunately, you weren't flying it at the time.
No, that would have been problematic.
Yes, it would. So thank you, everyone. I have personally enjoyed this particular session immensely, as I always do. Thanks, Doug, for joining us. I'm looking forward to seeing you again very soon. And for those of you in the audience, thank you for joining us. We always look forward to hearing from you, and we will turn it back over to Doug to turn us out. But one more comment from Randy is buy your book.
Well, he stole my last word, so I'm just going to say bye-bye, baby Nora. Sleep well, because we're going to be knocking on your door for some of that McMillan announcing skill at some point in the future. So get ready for it. It's coming.
Oh, and Drew, I just thought I'd let you know, I'm going to start shopping for infant size headsets.
Bye-bye.